This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 2153. Is tea trending in England? A culture chat with Charlie from the British English Podcast. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American host, Lindsay McMahon, and today's featured guest coming to you from Denver, Colorado, USA. To get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try the All Ears English app for iOS and Android. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/app. Today, I talk tea with Charlie Baxter from the British English Podcast. Learn one key mistake to avoid when you prepare tea and get two essential English tea phrases that will help you connect with a local in England. Listen in today. Everyone knows that the missing piece when it comes to fluency is having a way to practice, but we also know that you're busy. So that's why we've added special speaking opportunities for all students in our courses. Monthly fluency parties with an All Ears English host, open conversation club every week, and even a live Q&A in some plans. Join our online fluency course to get these benefits and more. Go to allearsenglish.com/plan to save 20% when you join before midnight on May 5th. But this offer does expire at midnight on May 5th. So go to allearsenglish.com/PLAN. Hello, Charlie. Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Hello, Lindsay. Yes, I'm very, very well. Thank you. I've been caffeinated. I won't tell you what kind of caffeine I've had yet.
Okay. We'll keep that a mystery for now. Love it. Maybe we'll get into it a little bit further on in the show. So I'd like to introduce you to our listeners. So listeners, today I have Charlie Baxter on the show. Charlie is the host of the British English Podcast, which has over 5 million downloads and is the co-host of the YouTube channel Real English with Real Teachers, with over 200,000 subscribers. And Charlie offers a lively and humorous approach to mastering advanced British English vocabulary and an immersion in British culture through his online academy. And hopefully at the end of the episode, Charlie, you'll tell us a little bit more about how to find you and about your academy. But you were on the show back in 2022, September, episode 1853, where we talked about how to reconnect with your creativity. Do you remember that episode?
I do. I'm glad for the refresher, but yes, I do remember that one.
So guys, listeners, go back and check out that other episode and then come back here today. And glad to have you on. It feels like a long time ago, September 2022. What do you think?
Yeah. It is a long time, but I suppose because we've had conversations throughout that time, I feel like we've kept up, but it's a while back now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, today, Charlie, I'm excited because I was thinking, what should we talk about? I was thinking over the weekend. And then I thought about tea, the culture of tea in England. You're from England. Where are you originally from in England, Charlie?
I'm from a county called Surrey, which is southwest of London.
Okay. So pretty close to London, would you say, like a 30-minute commute, or is it a suburb technically of London, or further?
It's outside of Greater London, so it's about 50 minutes on the train.
Okay, interesting, interesting. So I have not spent a lot of time in the English countryside, but I would love to. I've heard you guys have great hiking or great kind of walks around the country that people do. So I'm excited, and I wonder if I'll become converted into a tea drinker when I go. Charlie, would you say that the idea of tea is kind of overblown as a symbol of British culture, or is it, you know, is it as popular as I think it is in England?
It's probably both. So you get that idea from the fact that Americans don't drink much tea, am I guessing?
Correct.
So we do drink tea. There's a lot of tea drunk in this country.
Yeah.
But it's probably not the Ritz kind of afternoon tea with dainty little sandwiches that you might be envisioning
That is what I was envisioning. Yeah. Yes.
It's not that glamorous day to day, but we do drink a lot.
Okay. So I'm excited to have you on, get the real story on the presence of tea, trends when it comes to the market of tea in England and all of the details here. So my best friend growing up was actually British. She was born in Devon, but she moved to the US when she was about 5 or 6. So she had an American accent, but her parents still obviously were very British, had the British accent. They loved their tea. So even in middle school, you know, my friend Emma was drinking tea after school. And I just remember really noticing that and thinking, huh, what is that about? My middle school mind, I didn't totally get it yet. So tell me more about your tea drinking habits yourself, Charlie.
Okay. So currently I'm a bit more of a coffee fan.
Love it.
I've developed that obsession over the last 10 years. Really spending too much time every day around coffee. But growing up, I had tea. I first started having tea when I was in year 7, which is 11 years old.
Okay, 11. That's young.
Well, yeah, my nephew, he has tea and he's 2.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed because it's got caffeine in. But yeah, we have it from a young age. And when is middle school?
So middle school, I believe, starts around 12.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe let's say 12.
Okay. Yeah. So when I was in year 7, when I was 11, my friend was disgusted that I hadn't had a cup of tea yet. So I went round his house after school and they said, "Do you like tea?" And I said, "I don't know." And they were so surprised. So I'm guessing from that most people have it younger.
Okay, so starting very young. Interesting. So it's very much in the culture. You maybe see parents drinking it and it just becomes part. That's different from coffee. I feel like when it comes to coffee, at least here in the States, I didn't start drinking coffee until college age or after college. So I'm not sure. So very interesting to see kind of when traditions get started. But I love the fact that you're more of a coffee drinker. Me too, Charlie. We connect on that for sure.
Nice. Yeah. It's useful. It's a useful drug, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I love it.
Caffeinated by coffee.
100%.
But yeah, we would have probably 2 or 3 cups a day of tea if I was an avid tea drinker. I think most people probably have 2 or 3 a day.
Okay, I love it. So even though you're not a big tea drinker, I'm curious because I know that I will speak for Americans when we travel, or maybe many countries in the world kind of will enter a tradition and kind of do it wrong, which I think is totally fine to do it wrong. But for example, I was just in Portugal and I was reminded by our food tour guide that often travelers will do cappuccino all wrong in Italy and Portugal. We'll have a cappuccino in the afternoon, right? Which is wrong because in Italy, it's typically only drunk in the morning. So is there an equivalent mistake that you've seen, let's just say Americans or international travelers making in England with tea? Are there any gaffes that you've seen when people come?
No, yeah. Nice. So I think you'll be glad to hear that it's quite, we're quite kind on other people getting it wrong because we don't really have that many areas that you would class as a faux pas when it comes to drinking tea. There's a few, but it's not like the example you just said because, well, actually, English breakfast tea, the name suggests breakfast, but we have it any time of day. So I guess if you were to assume that it's only for the breakfast, then that's wrong. We have it any time of day. Probably came from the idea of having it early, but yeah, anyone has it any time. I just spoke to a friend to confirm my suspicions and his parents even get up at night because they can't sleep and they will have a cup of English breakfast tea at 3 in the morning. And that has quite a bit of caffeine in.
Yes. So because probably you can't sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's confusing because it's calming, but it's caffeinated. So,
okay. Interesting. Yes. Well, sometimes it's just about the ritual, right? Consuming the thing that we're used to consuming, and that can kind of soothe us in a way, I suppose, and put us back to sleep. That's funny. And is it typically is there a specific way that people take their tea in England? Is it with milk, without milk, or is it just personal preference like coffee? You know what I mean? You can't nail down a way to have coffee in the US, for example, or the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are quite picky about that, and they all have their own opinions.
Okay.
It is totally up to you to have sugar or milk with an English breakfast tea.
Sure.
Earl Grey is another type of tea that we assume is quite a popular one. I would say most people think of it as a bit of a posher drink.
Really?
Like it depends on the brands, but Twinings Earl Grey is a posh tea. Wow. And then we've got other brands like PG Tips and Tetley or Yorkshire Tea. They're all mainly, I think they're all English breakfast teas. And they would be as what we used to say as a builder's brew. A builder's brew. But okay. I don't know if we're allowed to say that now.
Oh, okay. I see. So just like with any drink, any food, there are like high-end brands and kind of lower-end, more mass-market brands for sure. That makes total sense. And I'm sure it's somehow linked to the brands that got started first or that kind of thing. What about food pairings? Is there anything that you should not pair tea with, or what do people tend to pair their tea with typically?
Yeah, interesting. So as you might stereotype, it goes with scones and cakes.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe a biscuit, a digestive biscuit. We like
to
dunk.
Biscuit, yeah? You mean a cookie or?
Yeah, we mean a cookie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you know the brand Digestive?
No, I do not. No.
Okay. It's not quite cookie like.
No.
What's another option for you? Biscuit is very different.
Well, we have muffins. A biscuit is more of a piece of bread that's more buttery, I guess.
Yeah, it's very far from that.
Okay.
It's more like a cookie, but it's not like a chocolate chip kind of thing on steroids kind of.
Right. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, a bit like a, I don't know, shortbread. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Also very buttery, but kind of more of a cookie type thing. What we would call a cookie.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you could dunk those kind of things in it, but I guess you should stay away from anything heavy or like spicy. I'd never have a curry with a cup of tea. There might be people out there that would love that, but I think most people would think that's weird.
Okay.
Or like anything heavy, really, apart from an English breakfast, a full English breakfast.
Right. Oh my gosh, that could have been a whole other conversation. We might need to have another day around the English breakfast. I've had it once and I was a little overwhelmed, I have to say.
There's a lot on there, isn't there? And it's also like I look at other cultures and they're eating chicken in the morning, and I think that's strange to have chicken first thing. But we're having bacon.
Oh,
we're having
a lot of
sausages.
There's a lot there.
There's
a lot of weird things happening for breakfast all over the world, Charlie. I would say that it's interesting. So is it completely, so you're saying, so dunking, yes, it's a thing. Is it polite to dunk? Let's say I'm in a nice tea house. I don't even know if that's part of the culture in England. Clearly, I haven't spent a lot of time in the UK. But is that polite? Is that okay? It sounds like it is.
It's acceptable. Yes. I think in the Ritz, you might not want to do that kind of thing. You stick to your scones and clotted cream and jams and stuff.
Okay.
And there'll be two separate things, your drink and your food. But in somebody's home, I would.
Sure.
If they give you a digestive biscuit, then yes, dunk away.
Got it.
But I don't think it's too rude. It's not too rude.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Perfect. Are there any other tea etiquette blunders that you've noticed that, you know, anything I should make sure to avoid? Anything else that comes to mind, maybe as you've seen tourists come over and indulge in the tradition that we should be aware of?
So I actually did this mistake the other day, and it's quite particular, but British people are particular on the way that the cup is brewed. You should never squeeze a tea bag. Squeezing the tea bag, I would have thought, is quite efficient. You get the caffeine and everything out of it.
Right.
But that releases the tannins a bit too much, and it creates quite a dry aftertaste.
Huh. Okay.
So I did that. I prepped one for my father-in-law, and he said, "Oh, you squeezed the bloody tea bag, didn't you?"
He corrected you right away. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Fascinating. Yeah. Okay, that is a next level tip. I like that. And so you mean as you're taking it out of your tea, is that what you mean, to as you're removing it?
Yeah. So you put the tea bag in, you put the hot water in, put the milk in, leave it to brew. You should leave it to brew before the milk as well. But a lot of people at that moment after that, they stir it.
Yes.
And then they squeeze against the side of the cup. And that's a big no-no for some people.
All right. That's a good tip. That is very good to know. And also don't do it around your in-laws because you'll really get correct. I mean, that's how we learn culture. That's how we learn manners and that kind of thing for sure. I love that.
And I just thought of one last thing. So we often ask for sugar or milk with our tea. And that's within your right as a consumer of the tea. But I think it's a bit like asking for salt after you've tasted some food. It suggests you're a bit... So you should say before or not at all. That's my assumption.
Interesting. That makes total sense. Right. Yeah. Because, you know, it's, for example, if you go to a dinner party anywhere in the world and you try the food, someone has spent time making this food, you try it and then you say, oh, can I have some hot sauce? Can I have salt? It can be a little insulting. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So go in with, oh, I take two sugars or I take one. Yeah. There's language there to talk about, but maybe in a bit.
Yeah, let's get to that. First, I want to ask you, because I'm really interested in trends, cultural trends. Who is taking original traditions and kind of moving them into something new, especially on the open market, you know, and what's selling? What are people interested in? For example, maybe you've seen in England, I'm not sure if these are trendy as well, things like cold brew, pour over in the coffee world, light roast for some reason is trendier than dark roast. I don't know why, because I'm a dark roast person.
Me too.
Yes, 100%. I don't like light roast. But when you go to the more upscale, trendy, expensive coffee shops, you can't find a dark roast. So we'll talk about that another day. But have you seen any trends around tea, like lattes or, I don't know, something new being created out of an older tradition?
I'd say that the older generation are the ones that hold on to the afternoon tea kind of culture more than the younger generations. I think coffee is becoming the go-to drink. Mm-hmm. Cafes in London, wherever I go, they are very much focused on coffee now.
Interesting.
And it's much more to do with like an Australian flat white rather than focusing on a cup of tea. They do give tea and they sell tea, but I'd say most people would go for a coffee and then if they're there for a bit longer, they would get a herbal tea or an English breakfast tea, but it would come in a little Japanese style teapot now, I think.
Interesting. Okay.
And that lasts for a bit longer if you're doing some work in a cafe, for example.
I see. Okay. So do you think that the tradition of tea in England might start to die out with an older generation? Where is tea going?
I just think it's a business. It's not booming because this is my theory, but I think tea is more accessible at home.
Okay.
In the UK. And coffee, you've got to have quite a lot of machinery to make a really good coffee in the UK. In most cupboards in an English kitchen, it would be Nescafe instant coffee, or a traditional English breakfast tea bag.
Okay,
and I think that tea bag provides quite a good quality tea, and the Nescafe instant coffee. Sorry, Nescafe, but it's terrible.
Just terrible. Yes. Okay. So there's a lot more. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying there's a lot more we have to do to get a good cup of coffee than a good cup of tea. I love that.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So it's not really being as commercialized as what we're seeing in the coffee world. And are you seeing kind of cold brews in England as well? Kind of the pour over, all of these trends I mentioned?
I have only witnessed witnessed a summer here in a while? No. Australia had a lot of cold brew.
Yeah.
Quite rightfully. But I don't know if we're ready for it. I think we need a bit more global warming for that to happen.
Well, there's also a trend in coffee, the cold brew on nitro, which comes out of the nitro drip and it ends up being a creamier taste. I like it, but it's always $2 more expensive. So it's kind of a luxury. But anyways, okay, Charlie, it's good to know. Interesting. So tea is kind of being kept at home. Would you say it's a tourist trap to go for high tea in London? Because I know people that have just done that in the last month or two and spent a lot of money to go for high tea as a tour. Is that a tourist trap?
It is and it isn't. It is because it's the thing to do as a tourist. But It is something that we would gift to one another.
That's nice. Okay.
For a birthday thing, a birthday treat.
Oh, that's
especially
cool.
If you're from outside of town, you would go to the Ritz for London for tea in London. That would be quite a nice thing. Like
exactly.
Afternoon tea. Oh, you said high tea. That's interesting. So high tea is actually confused with afternoon tea. High tea apparently comes from the idea of a long day of work, and then you come and have a heavier meal with a cup of tea on a high table.
Okay. Okay.
Afternoon tea is the glamorized stereotype.
Okay. I'll have to get the details then on that. Maybe we'll have to have it on for a part two on tea, Charlie. But for today, maybe we can ask you, is there any phrase for our listeners? And many of our listeners do obviously live in England, but if anyone is going to go visit London or visit the English countryside and want to enjoy a cup of tea with a local, is there any essential English tea phrase that we need to use and write down for today?
Yeah, but there's a few, and it's to do with ordering or receiving a cup of tea or asking. So we would always say fancy a cuppa. Fancy a cuppa. When you come through the door, you'd say fancy a cuppa, or you'd say, shall I put the kettle on?
Oh, that's
shall
so
I put
good.
The kettle on?
Yeah. Yes. I love that. That is so, that's something I never would have been able to teach our listeners as an American English speaker. I love it. So one more time, fancy a cuppa. Is that right?
Yeah. Your accent's interesting.
Strange. With
yeah. Fancy a
accent.
Cuppa. We say cuppa. Fancy a cuppa. Yeah.
A cuppa. Okay. Love it.
Or shall I put the kettle on? And that is quite a sort of therapeutic sentence. It's quite caring. Shall I put the kettle on? Like, as in somebody's got a problem. Let's talk about it. Shall I put the kettle on?
And so when you say that to someone coming in your home, you're indicating, I want to spend time with you. This is maybe a connection that I care about. Right?
Yes. And going back to your point about what you should and shouldn't do, you should always say yes.
Always
accept it. Yes.
I love it. Yeah. And since Allers English is all about connection, that's the takeaway for today, I think, right? If someone says, shall I put a kettle on? Yes. Say yes. There's no other answer. I love it. Charlie, can you tell us more about your show and what you're doing online, where we can find you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I do the British English podcast. It's mainly about British culture. And then secondarily, the British English comes from that. It's conversations with people like yourself or other people from all around the world and experts around their industry. I've developed an academy that supports that podcast for people to take Zoom classes on a weekly basis. And I've also built an app that helps them delve into all of the resources that I've built on the go.
Excellent. So can you give us again, the name of your podcast and also the URL of your academy so we know exactly where to go?
Yes, it's the British English Podcast. And the domain is the same. It's the britishenglishpodcast.com.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been fun. I'd love to have you on again soon, Charlie. And I always enjoy our chats.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Lindsay. All the best.
All right. Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.